Breakfast with Julian Clover
across our university city and South Cambridgeshire.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Cambridge Living Streets wants us to get walking around the city. With support from the City Council's Active Travel Fund, they've created camstreetsforpeople.org, which is an interactive website of walking routes to local shops, schools and amenities across the city. Linda Jones helped put the project together. I'm pleased to say that Linda is joining us now. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for coming on. This kind of reminds me, I don't know if you've heard of Phyllis Pearsall, who produced London's first A to Z, I think back in Victorian times, and simply did it by walking the streets of London. So I'm kind of hoping you got some help on this one.
Yes, absolutely. We worked with local residents. People contacted us. We contacted some residents' associations and other groups. And yes, I mean, we uncovered quite a lot of interesting things. I mean, probably for me, the most interesting walk was something, was an area where I thought that walking was unproblematic. And indeed, it would have been if you were able-bodied. But if you were trying to use a mobility scooter on the pavement, it was a disaster because the pavements were so uneven. And in fact, in the end, somebody's mobility scooter simply stopped working.
Oh, good. Where was this?
To a stick.
Where was this, Linda?
This was in...
I think we should name names here. We should add these places.
The south part of the city in Newnham.
Right, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I have to say, I kind of agree with you. I like a good walk, but it does feel like a bit of an obstacle course sometimes. You know, if it's not people on their phones, it's errant cyclists, badly parked cars, uneven pavements, A-boards with people sort of advertising stuff. And it can be very difficult just walking around.
Yes, I mean, you're doing my job for me in a way, but you're quite right. I mean, the purpose of the website and getting all this together, we've got 17 routes so far, and the purpose of it is actually to encourage more walking because, you know, active travel is really important, as you say. But in order to do that, we need better infrastructure and we need to make walking more safe and pleasant because we know that actually if walking feels risky and unsafe, people walk less. And so in a way, the infrastructure gets taken over by other things and walkers have to, as you say, negotiate their way around it.
And if people are walking less, are they then going into their cars? Is that that's the logical sort of following of that? If you can't walk, then car is normally the option.
Yes. Well, we know, I mean, two groups, I think, that we're particularly focused on. Younger children, where we know that 70% of younger children across the UK walked to school in the 1960s, and now it's something like under 40%. So we know those numbers have dropped, and partly when you ask parents, it's because they feel concerned about the danger from traffic if you walk. So that's one group. The other group are people, older people, who either don't want to use a car anymore, can't use a car anymore, never had a car, which, of course, is quite a large number of people in the city, and they want to walk around. And for them, it's really important, as it is for children. I mean, we had that wonderful study from Cambridge University very recently, and it suggested that if you could do 11 minutes of brisk walking a day, then that could help to prevent 1 in 10 early deaths. If you did 22 minutes of walking a day, then that could help to prevent 1 in 6 premature deaths. So we know that walking is good for us.
And it's not too, I don't think it's too difficult to get that amount of walking. And I have to say, whenever I go for a walk, I kind of like to have a purpose to it. I'll go to a shop which is too far away. You know, I'll pass like 3 or 4 other shops where I could buy the same thing on route, but it's just to give myself the extra distance, if you like, to kind of get that exercise going. It was interesting what you said about walking. I used to walk to school, and this from the 1970s. And it was, you know, even in sort of built-up Colchester, it was relatively easy. And I don't think my parents had any particular worries that something untoward was going to happen to me. Of course, now, and I noticed you'd mentioned this in on the website, you've got things like the school streets. We've got one at St Matthew's Primary School, which is not too far away from where our studios are. And you see, if you happen to go through that area, you see sort of parents out and they're blocking the road. And one of the strange things about it is that if you're in your car and you don't realise it's a school street, you've got the sign warning you, which is just past your last opportunity to turn round.
Yes, well, I mean, I'm not responsible.
I know it's not you, but I just wondered if, you know, if I noted you mapped that as one of the places on the site.
I think it is one. Yes, I mean, we did mapping so far. We've mapped with parents' help. We've mapped to three schools: St Matthew's, St Matthew's is one of them. And what's interesting to us is that it's not just about the school street. It's very nice. When you get to the street, whether the sign's in the right place or not, when you get to the street, you feel safe because the cars can't go through for about 40 minutes in the morning, 40 minutes in the afternoon. But how do you get to that school? That's the issue. So what you need are safe crossing points, safe routes to the school. And if you look at the St Matthew's route, we're suggesting places where, in fact, the markings on the road have been worn away, or there isn't sufficient marking on the road to direct children along a safe route. So what we're trying to say here is, let's not just have a safe school street, but let's identify and perhaps waymark even some safe routes to school that children could use, and make sure those routes are actually really safe by making a couple of key improvements here and there.
Yes, I guess that's the thing, isn't it, of making... Once a few parents and kids start to use them, then more, hopefully, will follow. You have, what's this thing, walking buses, don't they? They call it when a whole group of people set off walking together.
That's right, yes. And that's a very useful thing to do. Something that I think was encouraged in Newtown, where there are quite a lot of schools... bussing people in and trying to get into the area. I mean, that's actually changed now because, of course, some of the streets have been blocked off and cars and buses can't get in quite so easily.
Mm. Well, what's your favourite walk around Cambridge, Linda?
Well, I like walking down Mill Road.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a walk on the site about Mill Road, and I've already had some comments from people because people are saying, well, this is good because it shows areas that could improve, but it also points out amenities that you could have fun walking to, like the David Parr House. You've got a book, of course, but you can walk to that. You can walk down the end and book to see the new mosque at the end of the road. So there are lots of sites there. There are two or three walks at the moment in the centre of the city, one of them, which is a circular walk, which was pointed out to me by residents, people who do a lot of walking, and said, well, you know, this is mostly safe, but if you try and walk over Garratt Hostel Bridge, you're liable to get knocked off your perch by a bike going very fast, because the the division between bikes and pedestrians has disappeared. So it's things like that that could really help.
That's an interesting. I cycle. You're very right. I think that I cycle as well as walk. And you know, sometimes you go into a lane and you're thinking, okay, which lane should I be in? Where are the markings? Ah, there's a splodge of white paint where one was put in 10 years ago. And you know, it shouldn't cost that much to put a paint pot together. So if people are interested and you've kind of caught their imagination, which I suspect you possibly have, and they want to go off and find a few walks, where do they go to find the information?
Well, they can go onto the site, they can send comments on the walks that are already there, but what we really want people to do is to suggest new ideas for walks.
So you'd like to put some new ones on there as well?
We'd love to have some new ones. We can put some new ones on there. Excuse me. We can put some new ones on there. The walks, we have more people working in the south of the city than the north of the city. So we'd like more walks. We've got Walk Kadabra in Chesterton, but we'd like more walks. if anybody can walk around Eddington and find interesting things to do, then that would be good. So, you know, all those other sorts of walks. I think the key thing is to excite people, but also to say, hey, come on, if your walk could be better, show us an improvement. And in a way, in the end, you know, we want to put pressure on politicians to say walking's got to be more important. If you think about it, walking in the Department of Transport guidance is top of the transport hierarchy. That means pedestrians' considerations should be there first. They've done a bit of work on that because now they are encouraging motorists and cyclists to give pedestrians priority at junctions. But actually, if pedestrians are really top of the transport hierarchy, where is the investment in walking? What's happened over the years in some areas of Cambridge is that walking space has shrunk because the council's come down and put a white line down the middle of a pavement and said, right, half of this is cycling and half of this is walking. In some areas, that might work. In other areas, Brooklands Avenue is a great example. It's awful.
Yeah, I think residents of Milton Road have a few moans about that one, I think, as well at the moment. Well, look, Valinda, thank you very much. I must point people in the direction of Cam Streets for People. It's the figure four.
Number four,
Number four, figure four, camstreetsforpeople.org. And I had a little look yesterday, and I think it might encourage me to take a few different routes when I go on my travels.
I should just thank the City Council, because they have an active travel fund, and they gave us some money to help develop the website. So that's been important too. They are keen on active travel, and they are keen, although this will take time, to improve conditions for pedestrians.
Okay. Well, Linda, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Keep us informed as you sort of add a few more routes, and it'll be interesting to hear about those as well. That's Linda Jones, and she's helped put together Cam Streets for People, which is part of Cambridge Living Streets.
Cambridge 105 Radio.